You're listening to Marketing News Canada, Canada's number one show featuring the brightest minds in marketing, PR, and digital advertising.
Welcome to another episode of Marketing News Canada, and I am thrilled because you don't just get one guest, you get two today, Arthur and Marissa. Arthur is the co-founder of Tentree, Tentree.com. You probably have heard of, you might even be wearing some Tentree right now, award-winning entrepreneur and creative director with a proven product and brand experience, impact investor and advisor for brands helping make our world a better place, making things that matter. Tentree, of course, is a fellow B Corp and very famous for their Instagram posts that just went wild there. But more importantly, Marissa, founder and CEO of Still, she started the company with the intention of empowering women like her to get things done. She successfully launched two Kickstarter campaigns, holds a 20 On the Rise award, and won a 30 Under 30 award. In 2017, Marissa was diagnosed with MS, and it has completely shifted her focus in life. Exercise, living mindfully, and eating well are now at the top of her priority list, and running her business is keeping her strong. Marissa is also passionate about thrifting, DIYing, decorating, and cooking vegetarian meals. Thank you both for being here.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
No, it's so nice. So, Marissa, tell us, those that have yet to discover Still, what is Still and why do we need this in our life right now?
So, Still basically started as a kind of passion project because I was a busy young woman with a busy schedule, as we all do. And I have always been somebody that has relied on planners and notebooks. I've always just been a pen to paper person. And I saw kind of a gap in the planner market, at least at the time. You know, I was 24 and there just wasn't anything that really existed for like the modern woman, so to speak. A lot of things for like moms, and, you know, scheduling like your academics, so for like school and things like that, but nothing really that focused on just like getting shit done as, you know, a modern woman with like a busy social life, busy job, maybe working a side gig, maybe, you know, working at a restaurant at night, like those kinds of things. So yeah, I basically decided I needed to empower women to get more things done and do it in style. So that's where the planners and everything came from.
And men that are watching and listening, can they get this as well? Is this okay for a man to have a Still planner?
Absolutely. It's actually funny because I think throughout like 2020, we saw so many more men kind of adopt this kind of, I want to say, lifestyle, just because I think in general, people were feeling a little bit more helpless when it came to like, I don't have someone leaning over my shoulder all day being like, oh, you should be doing this. Oh, you should be working on that. So it was a lot of like, you know, self-starting things and like knowing what to do and knowing how to build your schedule. And I think a lot of people were struggling. So we saw a lot of people come to us to just seek help to be like, how can I be productive and not just like sit around until 11 o'clock in the morning and then realize, oh, like, shit, I should be getting work done. So yeah, we've had a lot more men. We actually had my first straight male customer buy one of our purple, like lavender colored planners the other day because he was like, I like purple. I was like, good for you. Yeah, get after it. So
that,
yes,
is awesome.
We don't just target women. I mean, I am female. Our almost entire team is female, with the exception of Arthur. So, you know, we know our own type very well, but that doesn't mean that our principles don't apply to the male demographic as well.
And speaking of Arthur, who is here as well, thank you, Arthur, for joining us.
Still here.
On this conversation. Marissa, when did you meet and what was it like being an entrepreneur and then getting together with another entrepreneur, and how has that worked out? Like, what are you seeing kind of the benefits of that?
Are you wanting Arthur to answer this or me?
Marissa, I want to hear your perspective when you met him. when was that? What was that like?
We met in 2017 on Bumble.
Nice.
Did the whole swipe right move on Arthur, and I had to start the conversation. So it's all thanks to me that this is all even happening, you know, with the whole Bumble app situation. But yeah, it was funny because Arthur had a very distinct sense of humor that I hadn't, I guess, come across before in my life. So he was poking a lot of fun at like the fact that he was like, oh, you talk about work a lot. We would probably get along well then, because I work a lot and I work all the time. So I think for us, what has always worked really well is that we both have things that we're very passionate about, and we don't like rely on each other to give each other entertainment, because we just have so many things going on that like we know how to entertain ourselves very well, and we just need someone there who can relate to some of the things that we're struggling with. So I think we've been able to support each other a lot in just different ways. I'm much more of an extrovert and Arthur is much more of an introvert. So those kind of like balancing things, I think, have come in really handy, where, you know, he kind of makes me check myself and I do the same thing. And I think I challenge him to go bigger and to do more and to say more and to be freer. And like, you know, so I think we've got a really good kind of like balance between the two of us.
It's amazing. Now, Arthur, flashback 2017, you're on Bumble. What season was Tentry in at the time?
Man. Well, probably would have been fall of 2018. Is at that time you're working about a year ahead. Now yeah. It's okay. Probably two or more. I think around there. Fall 18 was in my head.
Yep. And the company, was it global at this point? What season or stage of the business was it at? Like, were you national? Was it growing? Or was it kind of like, man, you were just getting started?
Well, it's funny to think because, 2017 is nearing. 5 years ago, we had just moved our office out to Vancouver. We originally started the business out of Regina, Saskatchewan. So we spent about 4 years there, and then we kind of split. We had a Vancouver HQ and then a Regina HQ. And that was, you know, starting kind of my new life here, you know. As entrepreneurs do, work a lot and not having a lot of time to really connect and meet people. So it ended up working really well to have that connection over Bumble with someone else who kind of shared a lot of the same gripes with being an entrepreneur as me. So it was perfect timing.
It's amazing. Now, how would you balance it? Like, say, Arthur, if you're like head down, you've got, you know, some creative due, or you got some, you know, projects due, and Marissa's kind of ready to be like, hey, I need to get out and go, you know, rest or actually get some rejuvenation. I've been at it all day. Like, how do you guys find that balance of just even your own scheduling? Speaking of scheduling things, how did you find it work?
Well, I mean, for us, both being entrepreneurs, you spend a lot of time per week on your business. And I think the biggest thing between both of us is having the mutual understanding and acceptance that that's the norm for us. So kind of understanding like what burnout is, or understanding, you know, it's when busy season is and when things are going to be like, you know, we're not going to be able to have vacations for like 3 or 4 months or even go see our friends. So I think it was less like rigid in terms of how we were or have been scheduling and planning things, just the general awareness of it. Like, we can both relate. We know come Black Friday, it's just like all hands on deck, ordering food every night and, you know, not getting a lot of sleep. That's kind of the balance.
Yeah. And Marissa, what about that time, that season of life? And those that don't know this yet, but like, I remember it as an Instagram user, like Ellen, for example, shared this image of a little tree in a square, shared it on her stories and said, you know, double tap this to plant a tree. And Ellen was one of many celebrities who shared this amongst many of my friends and peers and colleagues. The day that that Instagram post truly went viral and went huge, Marissa, what was it like for you watching your partner manage this thing or kind of watch this thing erupt?
Well, it's kind of interesting because I get to be a part of Arthur's creative process from day one. And I get to be a part of like the, is this a good idea or should it be this instead? You know what I mean? So then like, I get to be like part of the vetting process of like, here are two ways this could really go. And like, this is what we're thinking, or, you know, is this a really dumb idea or is it really good? And so it's kind of fun to be, you know, also for Arthur to obviously respect my opinion on the work that he is doing means a lot to me. And, you know, to see something that I know he has put everything into succeed so well. I mean, it's absolutely no surprise to me. I am never surprised at any of Arthur's successes because I know how much he puts into things, and I know how much care and how much attention to detail goes into everything he does without ever like missing a single thing. So there was no doubt in my mind it was going to be successful. And when it was actually happening, I think the only thing I told him to do was like, take some like credit for this, you know, like make sure you pat yourself on the back and say, like, I made this happen. Like, I am proud of myself and my team, you know? And it was really wonderful. We went and celebrated. I think we went for beers at a pub and Arthur gave a speech to his team. And it was so moving because, you know, I could tell that I was coming from such a genuine place of him being so proud of the people that, you know, were on his small team that made that happen. So I loved obviously being a part of every little step of it.
It's amazing. And are there those that don't know the facts? Give me just kind of the Coles notes of what you did that, you know, historic birthday.
Yeah. I mean, I'm pretty sure a good chunk of people may have remembered the egg post.
Yes.
So during like the football season of, I guess, 2018, we saw this post that wrapped in the kind of concept behind it was really anti-influencer. And I think that was the sentiment and kind of still is a lot to this day. The goal was like, well, if Kim Kardashian's photo of holding a baby or something is like the most liked image on the planet, it's saying a lot for society. So I think there's this kind of small rebellion happening in social media. So we thought to ourselves, if people are willing to like something that's in a lot of ways, like it's anti, it's negative, and the reasoning behind it, we thought that they would be equally likely to do something that's has a positive action behind it and motivating people to spread positivity more so than, you know, indirectly that negative aspect. So we created a post with the goal to plant a bunch of trees for the likes that we got. It was, you know, 10 to 1 ratio at the time. We had our goals set and, you know, we smashed through them in like a matter of hours and we're scrambling to kind of figure out what to do next. And yeah, as you said, it kind of reached viral status, I'd say. I think the total count was like 17 million or something like that. And then about 2 weeks later, a week and a half later, Instagram decided that they're going to remove likes from the app. So we got to set that bar really high and then just like walk away from it because no one can touch it anymore, which is really...
You were the mic drop
for,
of likes on Instagram. Like, I've got to say, like, and it's so cool that it came from it's Vancouver... From some guys from, you know, Saskatchewan, which I think is so cool. And tree planters, correct? Is that?
Yeah.
Okay. And when you created the company, what point was the flip in your head? Or was it always to say, we're going to become a B Corp? We're going to go through the process and stand for something that's pretty amazing.
Well, I think the sustainability side of the mission is always in the DNA of the brand. So B Corp specifically wasn't like something that we aspired to from day one.
Yeah.
That was more maybe 2017, 2018, we started to look into getting certified. And as a new business, a small business, these things cost money to do.
Yeah.
They cost money to get the certification, to do the audits and all that. So definitely always on our radar. And I, you know, 1 year we went through the process of getting that done and we were, it was a monumental moment for us. And I think it's like, again, I was saying setting the bar, another example of us setting the bar internally of like, we plant trees. We planted a lot of trees, but what else can we do to continue to be better, to be our best? So B Corp's a great example of that. And I think it's also a great certification that any business can look towards, not just give back brands that have a sustainability focus. It can be anyone. I think, you know, again, in a similar situation now with Still, at the point where it would be a good place to start getting that set up. Again, like I said, as a startup, it takes the time, it takes energy, it takes money to do it. So just about kind of evaluating the priority there. And it is definitely something that's on the radar to, I guess, get the second company I've been a part of under a B Corp check. So excited for that too.
That's awesome. At one point, we went through the process, we got approved. And again, it's a budgetary thing. And so I remember at one point, we just didn't have the budget to renew it up 1 year. And so we, I don't know, technically did not have status. But I think even just going through the process of it, you can get points. And those that don't know, it's an incredible point system. And it's out of 100. And you got to get 75 or 80 plus points to get this certification. But much like organic rating or things like that. But one of the point systems you can get is if you add a certain piece of text to your shareholders agreement, which is about, you know, not just being for the benefit of shareholders, but for the world, the environment, and the people around you. So it's a pretty awesome cause there. So I got to ask, what are you excited about these days, Arthur? Like, what's kind of waking you up in the morning? You know, what's revving you up? Or what are you seeing in the future? Like, if you had a crystal ball right now, and I know it's, you know, we all don't have them, but like, what do you see in the future for yourself and you?
My passion has led me down a path of creating things that make a difference, or making things that matter, as I like to say. I am what I would call myself an inventor. I like to create. I really am driven by that personally. So I see myself continuing to create, whether it's through the brands that I'm working for, you know, potentially something new down the line. But I think in terms of Crystal Ball, like, there's a lot of opportunity out there in the sustainability space that I'm still really excited for. Two categories that like excite me right now are the food category and still apparel. When it comes to apparel, I think there's a really massive shift towards purchasing secondhand and creating that marketplace. So starting to see that really take off. You know, you've got IPOs happening for these companies that were, you know, once a small little reselling app that are blowing up. And, you know, you're seeing it more and more with just culturally with friends and family that are adopting the mentality of buying secondhand, not just for clothing. So I see that. And then when it comes to the individual's impact on how they can help better our planet and make an individual impact, that's where food comes in, that I'm also excited in the sector there. So Marissa and I are both vegetarians. She's the cook, as you know, she mentioned in her bio. She's also the excellent bio writer, who's 5 times longer than mine. But yeah, so we've been really subscribing to the vegetarian diet and lifestyle and trying to make as much of an impact as we can and seeing that industry grow as well. The technology that's evolving in the plant food space is, it's exploding in the same way that I've seen that explosion in sustainability with apparel. And as we know, the number one thing that an individual can do to help the planet is to adopt a plant-based diet. So knowing that that technology is advancing, it's becoming more easily adaptable to people to make that transition. I see really big changes coming there as well that I'm excited about. And then, I mean, lastly, I'm super stoked about working with Marissa, empowering women in business. I think this is another area that, you know, we've seen more and more momentum in this conversation through social media, especially, you know, in the last year and a half, and really finding a way to help her build that community to empower other women to be successful and build their careers.
It's amazing. Now, Marissa, empowering women in business, what does that mean for you for this next year? What are you looking for? What are you excited about in this upcoming season?
So basically, you know, it's been really interesting, obviously, with this whole pandemic. We actually, early 2020, February 29th, we opened a brick and mortar store that was open until March 16th and then closed forever. So had big plans to have a store, to have events, to do networking things. And we had like a little co-working area. All of that is obviously dead. But when it comes to, like, you know, that obviously being a very negative thing, I think that there's a lot of positives that have come out of that. And I think that is just the part that people are like so much more aware of us now than they were before. And I think a lot more people are sharing ways that they are staying organized, working from home. And I think a lot of people are struggling and people need help with everything from just like general gratitude to, like, you know, practicing your mindfulness and making sure you're exercising. Like, all of those things I think are very important. And I think that especially now that you're at home, it's so easy to not do those things. And I'm guilty of them myself. I think it's very easy for me to come up with excuses not to do certain things. Especially, I think people now being at home feel like they're not being productive because they've also got to do laundry. They're also making lunch. They're also having to take their dog out for a walk. And like all of those things I think are, you know, so much more real and they're so much more aware of now than they were before. So I think for us, we're going to continue supporting people in whatever way that we can. I have a slightly bigger team now, so I have the ability to create more blog content, to, you know, create more tools for people to feel like we've got their back and they're not going to lose that momentum. Because I think that January is such an amazing month because everyone's like setting goals and going to the gym and eating healthy and setting all of these like habits and tracking them and being so great. And then you get to June and it's like all of that is just garbage. Like, no one remembers anything that they said that they were going to do is actually, you know, they're still doing. So I think finding ways for us to continue supporting people throughout the year, where we're not just saying like, oh, here's a planner, good luck, you know, see you in 3 months or see you in 6 months. It's like, you know, sign up for our newsletter, get, you know, content that will help you kind of stay positive and, you know, stay motivated. And so that's something that I'm really trying to work a lot more on, is just having the additional touch points with our customers that's not just a purchase.
That's amazing.
You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand, and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Tell me about the journal. I got it at one point and I can't remember the name of it, but you open it up and it's like three things that you're thankful for, or like, what are your hopes for the day? But it's just asked two questions. Do you know the one, morning, evening? You
seen this one?
Gratefulness journal. Had, it's like a thankful.
Is it our daily journal? Like, it's just like kind of like a mindfulness journal.
Yeah. Yeah. So I've seen
like
that.
Like a soft cover? Like, okay.
Yeah. But it doesn't, you can't plan anything in it. It's just a design to be thankful for. So I feel like, we had a guest on the show who posted actually early in COVID about, you know, we couldn't go to hairdressers anymore. And so he would go on these Zoom calls with people whose roots were showing, both men and women. And he went on to say, his name is Ron Tite. He went on to say, you know, people's true roots were showing though. We began to see people's homes and their pets and their, you know, their children,
their kids,
and their messy sinks, right? Like I was on a call yesterday, my sink was showing, right? And I feel like our roots are showing as people. And I feel like, Marissa, what you've done with this journal is that you look at a person as a whole person, someone who is not only doing stuff as an entrepreneur, but then they probably have to take care of their health as well. Mm-hmm. And I tell me about that. What has it been like to create a holistic journal that I feel like captures the whole person?
Well, I think it's so much more than just a journal. I think the journal is just like a nice to have. And I think it makes it easy for people to kind of check in with themselves every day. But I think in general, what we try to do is to help them build an entire lifestyle and to really like make sure that, you know, they are following through on the things that they are saying that they want to do, because it's so easy to say that you want to do those things and then not actually do them. Where I feel like, you know, if you have the right planner or the right journal, you have some accountability, you have like a little bit of an accountability partner on your side that allows you to go back and like, you know, say you use the journal for 3 months and you want to go back to like, what did you put down on your first day that you used it? And then just compare those kind of like shifts in yourself. I think that's so powerful. And I think like knowing that there are other people out there that are struggling with the same thing, that's why we get a lot of like women who share the same planner in their circle of friends because they like to be able to exchange advice. They like to be able to like get tips from each other. They keep each other accountable. And, you know, we often have people reach out and say, like, I want to get these for my entire team because I just know that it's going to help all of their productivity. And it's something that we can discuss together, even though we're apart. So
it's amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing. And I don't know the exact number, but there's something about when you write down a goal versus think of a goal, the X percentage of people who actually get that goal done when you've written it down. Do you know that number? Do you know that I'm talking about?
I don't think I know the exact percentage, but all I know is that when you take pen to paper, your brain will remember it. I think it's like four or five times better than if you're just typing it out on the computer. Because you are bombarded every single day with notifications from social media, from Slack, your email, your calendar, and all of those things. So being able to just like open your book and be like, oh yeah, right, these are all the things that I have to do. And then I think physically checking something off allows your mind to just be like, okay, I'm done with this now. I don't have to think about it anymore. And you don't have to feel like, I feel like I missed something. Like, where was this thing that I wrote down that I, you know, I can't remember how to do or whatever. I cross out. I have this like thick black marker. I just like put a big black line through all of my tasks and it's just the most satisfying feeling. I also have this weird thing. I feel like some people listening are going to resonate with this so hard. But what I do is if I complete a task that I hadn't written down in my to-do list yet, I'll write it down and then cross it out. Yeah. It's no, so amazing. Sad, but it feels so good. I'm like, oh yeah, I'm going to write that down just because I completed it today and I must make sure that I cross it off.
And then you can even look back at then each year you can get a new book, correct?
Exactly. Yeah. And then, actually, and you know what's funny?
Over the years.
This stack in the corner right here are books from the year 2004 to 2010 or 11.
That's awesome.
My own like diaries.
That's incredible. When I was, this is in 1994, my graphic arts teacher, Mr. Skur, Mr. Peter Skur, encouraged us to use our Pilot V5 pens to kind of process the day visually. And so I did that actually for 5 years of my life in high school. And he said, empty your pockets and I'd have scotch tape and I'd process my day that way. And I still can now go back and see these visual experiences I had.
So special.
Recycled materials and garbage and stuff that hurt me or challenged me or really amazed me in those days, which I thought was so neat about what you're doing, because I feel like so much of what you're doing is also, and maybe you did, I don't know your background, but did you borrow from the examen as well, that kind of ancient spiritual tradition? Was that part of your inspiration or are you aware of the examen?
No, I'm not actually.
Okay. So there's this process. It's this kind of old spiritual tradition, kind of from the Desert Fathers, the same folks who brought us the Enneagram, which is like the original personality test, was at the end of each day, you would ask these three sacred questions. And so the only thing I've seen close to what you do is this thing called Sacred Ordinary Day, which is, but again, it's a very spiritual journal.
Okay.
But I feel like you took the spiritual parts of it, but made it for people who aren't spiritual or maybe who are just not religious in any way,
mm-hmm.
but kind of blended it together with this amazing planner. It's so cool what you've managed to do.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate that. I mean, I used to be religious. I'm not religious anymore. It's not something that I like practice myself, but my hope is that obviously anyone and everyone has the ability to use our planners. Basically, the way that I got to where I am now with the planners is like literally based on the ones that I have in the back here that were daily journals for me, similar to you. I kept like a bag of M&Ms, or I kept like if I had to go to the hospital, I kept my hospital bracelet, or I would keep a movie ticket, or, you know, like if I went to a theme park, I would keep the little stubs or whatever. It was just all of those things are all in there. They're all taped in there. And they went from being this thick to being like 3 inches thick. You know,
yeah.
I can flip through and every page is like just a random jumble of things that were going on in my teenage mind. And I love going through those and getting that feeling back of like what it was like to be in the mind of like a 14-year-old self, you know. Obviously, it's very different when you're using a planner as an adult, but I would say the majority of people do not throw them in the trash. They keep them because why would you get rid of, it's almost like you're erasing years of your life if you get rid of something like that, because everything kind of tells a story, whether it's, you know, a new business that you started, to go back and like look at what you wrote down, look at what things you're working on and what things you, you know, took notes on and those types of things, I think is just so irreplaceable.
And I think you said it so well about Arthur, of like, as entrepreneurs, you know, sometimes we need that cause for pause or to be reminded, right? If we look back on the fingerprint in our lives of like the history of like, man, I had a goal for, you know, this post to do this or my company to do this. And we will often as entrepreneurs forget to stop and celebrate. I think we're so excited because I think we're driven by restlessness and drive and to change the world. And so to stop and have a beer is so important.
Celebrations are my favorite thing in the world.
And so why do you think we need that? Why do you think we don't celebrate enough as entrepreneurs, or we don't pause enough?
I think you kind of touched on it. I mean, for Marissa and I, probably speaking for her as well, we're always focused on what's next and what's coming down the pipeline. So when you always have that kind of growth mentality, you're just focusing on how you can grow as a person, as a business, as a community. And, you know, something like the tools that Marissa creates help better document or schedule or reflect on those things. And I think a lot of us don't really take the time to have that reflective nature, the mindfulness of, you know, looking back and appreciating like the gratitude side of things. And I think, you know, that's one thing I can definitely be guilty of as we were growing Tentry, from my first day, like rebuilding our first website, and we had 250,000 trees planted. I thought that was great. And then, you know, that number goes to 1 million, then it goes to 10 million, then it goes to 20 million. And in a matter of, you know, what it seems like weeks or days when it's actually, you know, the course of close to 10 years. So,
and then you launch socks. Let's not forget that, Arthur. Launch socks. And I bought a pair at the airport and I love them, except for they're a little too slippery. I find I slip in them on the hardwood floor, but on that, they're amazing. And I say, my 14-year-old son came home with a Tentry hat the other week. And I was like, dude, awesome. He bought it at the mall. And I'm like, it's so cool.
He's voting in the right direction with his dollar. It's a good kid you're raising there.
Yeah. No, it's wild. So going back, Marissa, it's not just planners. You have accessories as well. Like, it's not just, you have multiple SKUs in your brand. So tell me about what else someone can get from your site.
Yeah. So we have, I mean, paper products are for sure like the number one thing. Actually, our best-selling product are our planner stickers, which is very bizarre thing. But I mean, I fully get it. It's funny because when I was talking about doing it, Arthur was like, I don't know if I get it. I don't know if this makes sense. But I was like, no, it makes sense. Yeah. It's going to do well. So basically, it allows you to have like stickers, like you say, like meeting or coffee meeting or, you know, Zoom or whatever, or it'll say like, remember this, or like important. Yeah. And it's just a little sticky that you put in your planner. And, you know, instead of writing it down, you can just put a little sticker, makes it look neat. We have these like beautiful muted colors. So it's like basically like almost like crafting for adults. Like you're just like creating this little.
So cool.
It's a little bit of like a scrapbooking kind of vibe that anyone can do and is kind of fun, and it just makes it look neat and exciting. And so it adds a little bit of
fuzzy stickers though, right?
They're not fuzzy. No, they're like,
smelly. They're not smelly stickers.
Mm-mm. They're like paper based stickers that just have like words on them. I mean, I can show you an example if that helps, because I literally have them.
My daughters have a Melissa and Doug calendar that they love the stickers every month. Every month they get stickers like this, Marissa, that you're showing for dentist or celebrations. Yep. And that's part of their favorite part every month is to put on the stickers, right? And I think at the core, we're all 6 and 7 year olds.
100%.
And we all wish we should be more like 6 and 7 year olds who are excited about putting stickers, because otherwise it's like, oh, I'm going to the dentist. Or like, I remember my first time I brought my son on a SkyTrain. It was like, this is amazing. But as adults, we're like, we're going on a giant, you know, it costs millions of dollars and we're going at light speed and why don't we pause and think, I'm going on a SkyTrain today, and you can actually put that sticker in.
Honestly, I feel like I kind of live my life that way. I do get very excited about random things, and I think I get overly excited about really ridiculous things all the time. It's just the way that I like to live my life, whether it's, you know, a charcuterie board or a good bottle of wine. I get very excited about those things, and I find a lot of things in life very, very enjoyable. And one of those things is stickers in my planner. So, but yeah, we have other products as well that, you know, we do purses. We have some bags that you can kind of like build sort of like your own like modular kit with. We have a sort of like side bag that you can use as a makeup bag. We also have a clear tote bag. Basically, the point behind that is like makes it really easy for you to find stuff. So you're never like digging through your bag looking for things. So yeah, we do a few different types of accessories that kind of complement the planners.
And the Kind Club.
Yes.
Tell me about that. The Kind
Club. Yeah, so we did.
I need to know about this.
We did our first kind of like swag collection in the fall. And it's something that I've wanted to do for a really long time, but I wanted it to have like the right messaging. And I think with everything that was going on last year, it was just something that I thought would really resonate with everyone of just like knowing and remembering to just to be kind above everything else. And it's something that I really try to live by and do. And I've recently started doing this. This is so random. Like I just give random strangers things. I don't know why, but we were sitting in a restaurant having a drink and this girl was like, I love your necklaces. They're so cute. They're so beautiful. Like, where did you get them? And so I was just like, I'm just going to give it to her. Like, I'm just going to take this off and I'm just going to give it to her just because I know it'll make her month. So it was a necklace that I mean, it was nice, but it's just a thing, you know, it's just an object. And I was like, the other one I'm wearing has a lot of sentimental value, but the other one was just kind of like, you know what? If it's going to make her day, like, I'm just going to give it to her. And it's something I think that we don't do enough where doing things for other people is something that's really special. And so, you know, when it comes to Kind Club, I think that that is a big part of it.
That's amazing. I love that line of like, you know, use things and love people. Don't love things and use people. Mm-hmm. Right? I feel like you live that.
Thanks. And it was funny because in the moment I was like, I've never done this before, but I think I'm doing it. And as I'm taking it off, I'm like, and it's happening.
It says the stuff doesn't own you. And I feel like so much of your website and what you do is just you emulated on this, and people can get glimpses of that kind of joy and that childlike faith again to be excited about what's next and to process our days.
Thank you. It's really
I want to add, it's really interesting, like as a third party here, like Marissa, when we talk about, you know, living your brand DNA, she has that stack of journals since she was in high school. It really is her character to look to plan forward and celebrate and schedule her time effectively has always kind of been there. These things come out. It's what, like you say, looking at her website and her community, it's because she truly lives her DNA and fosters that mentality for the other users of her product.
And as the designer, when you think of Marissa, when you think of the brand, like when you were building out the brand and designing it and working with her on it, I imagine, like, is that what you saw in her and what you pulled out of her? Was that cool stuff?
Yeah, I think a lot of the newer components of Still is really letting that element of her shine. You know, we talk about things like the Kind Club is one example, building more of a community around the product.
Like Club Still is pretty
exactly,
cool.
Like, yes, yeah. Totally. So the idea, I think when you consider like buying a journal or a notebook, you could go into a Staples and get a cheap notebook that has lines or dots or whatever you need, and you can write your notes in it. That's not for everybody. And I think for the people that want to have a sense of community, they want to have encouragement, they want to have a sense of presence with the product that they're buying, that's what Still's really been working on building in terms of like a motivating factor. So you're always seeing how other people are using their notebooks, how other people are using their journals or planners or their work from home setups and how they've adapted that lifestyle, and Still kind of becoming that hub to create the community to showcase that and build people up and encourage them rather than just, you know, being that exchange of you purchase it and see you later. So that's, I think, a lot of the progress that we've been working on together is really building out that community and letting Marissa's kind of inner spirit shine through the brand.
It's a good way to put inner spirit shining through. And I feel like when I went to University of Victoria, part of my student fees actually went to a planner every year. We were, I don't know, forced to buy, and we bought a planner and I used it. I loved it because I went from high school to journal drawing to this thing. So it kind of really squished my drawing quite. So I looked through it and it's like, whoa, those are some tiny drawings. So my drawing spilled over into my school notes, which probably wasn't great for studying. But I feel like one of the biggest things we miss from university that no one teaches us is time management. I feel like, Marissa, you've somehow figured out a way to, like, in a sense, kind of pack in time management into a planner, which is so cool. So if someone is using the planner, they get that support and they get the kind of the tools to plan their lives better.
Definitely. And I think that that is such a huge thing, especially now that people are kind of left to their own devices. We get a ton of people. I think a lot of parents are struggling who have small kids. The gig economy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of people who have small children who are at home with them really need to manage their time well, because otherwise you're not getting anything done. And so there's, you know, multiple resources that we have on our blog and different tools that we kind of outline in some of our planners, like our Get It Done planner is our biggest seller. It's our kind of like productivity focused planner that really allows you to kind of lay out your day in like a very kind of productive way and allows you to check in on everything that you're, you know, wanting to do every single week. So instead of just being like, okay, like get all these things done, it allows you to actually check in with those things that you, that are, you know, bigger than just your to-do list, whether that's like some goals that you're working on or like rituals that you would like to practice, whether that's, you know, in the morning or in the evening. And that could be anything from having, you know, a cup of hot water with a slice of lemon in the morning to working out for an hour. You know, it could be so many different types of things, or, you know, reading a book at night, or maybe it's just like, I get to watch trash TV for 30 minutes. That's my ritual. And I get to do that. And I get to check that off every day. But I think the main thing with working from home now, and when it comes to time management, is making sure that you treat your to-do list as like a, like put everything in there. If you have to buy groceries, put it on there. If you have to clean your bathroom, put it on there. If you have to do laundry, put it on there. And don't just be looking for an excuse to do those things, but actually schedule them into your schedule. Because otherwise you end up just being like, well, I have to get it done. Like I might as well do it now. And then it's just like, you're always finding those little excuses to like walk away from your desk and to like not actually like buckle down and get things done. I think the other thing that's really important is like knowing what time of day you are your most productive self. Some people are the most productive at 8 p.m. at night and they get a shit ton of work done. And some people do it, you know, at 6 o'clock in the morning, and figuring out like, how do I work my day around making sure that I'm using the time that I feel like I'm going to get the most done, and, you know, do other things maybe throughout the day. If like you start working at 9 p.m., like when your kids are in bed and you're just like hustling, that's great. Then spend the rest of your day taking care of your kids and doing other things that maybe don't take as much mental space.
That's great advice. That's really good. And yeah, when am I my best me? And even to have a, you know, kind of a tracker tool, like a planner that can, you can look back and be like, wow, when I put those hard tasks at that time of day, I was more productive.
Well, I think also like now that people are at home and you don't have to necessarily like subscribe to the 9 to 5, why not just decide like, you know, change your hours, work on your own time if that's a possibility for you. You know, sure, there's going to be meetings and Zoom calls and things like that, but if you know that you get more work done after dinner, then just do it then. Like, you know, No one cares if you're still working at 8 o'clock, and maybe you end up working out in the morning or making yourself a nice breakfast or whatever it is that allows you to kind of just like ease into your day. So yeah, some of the time management skills or tips that I have.
I love it. Arthur, I got to know brands that someone should be buying this summer. What's some like I'm a person that wants to live sustainably. I don't have a lot of friends like you, Arthur, in my life. So what should I buy? If you're like, man, consider this brand or this, maybe a few, if you want to shout out right now that we could be buying, you know, in a sense, voting with our dollars, like you said, what my son did.
It's really funny. I was thinking, I think it was like this morning or yesterday, that I haven't bought anything this year that is new, like in terms of clothing. Yeah. So when it comes to that, like my number one advice is always looking at what you can get secondhand.
Yeah. So thrift stores, local thrift stores.
Thrift stores, 100%. Yeah. There's a lot of good options that give back, whether it's to animal shelters or women's shelters. Yeah. You can find ones that, you know, are not just the Salvation Armies and Value Villages, ones that are giving back to the community. Fantastic. I think brands that are, in terms of what is next, I think there is a lot of space in the footwear industry. I've read a few times that there's a number of 23 to 27 billion pairs of shoes that are made per year. And when I think of waste, like shoes are something that you do throw out. You're not really buying secondhand. So I really like what the Allbirds team is up to in terms of their sustainability mandates. If you're going to purchase something sustainable, I think looking at footwear options that are made from recycled materials or can be recycled, super important. We got a local brand as well, Native Shoes. They've got a sustainability initiative as well. They're looking to really kind of ramp that up and build more sustainability into their product life cycle. So I think for me, it would be like if you're going to buy one thing, because most people don't buy shoes used, look for sustainable options like those.
In all your years, did you and Blake Makowski, did your paths cross?
Yeah, it did, actually. In the strangest of places, at a casino in Vegas, we played craps together. So. And it was the night before, it was the night he was selling his company. So he was on and off the phone talking about 100 million this, 100 million that. And then 2 days later, we saw in the news, kind of pieced everything together. But yeah, it was a fun night. That was so the last funny. Time, one That's and only last. Time I saw him. But yeah, when we were starting that the brand, like Tom's was... I guess for people that don't know, Blake is the founder of Tom's, and they were basically the one and only give back brand at the time.
And then Sevenly, remember Sevenly came
Sevenly
on the market
as well. For, exactly. Yeah. So we were
Their early days were awesome.
Totally. And we looked up to those brands, you know, starting out as what a give back brand could be or what the future brands could be. And they're great examples.
That's awesome. I remember I was at the party in New York when Tom launched sunglasses. They went into glasses and I got a pair at this launch party and loved them. And they were but I am always losing sunglasses. And so that was the one time when I lost them. I was so sad because they were such great sunglasses. But I love Native Shoes. Just anecdotally, they're one of the only pairs of shoes that you can really pass on from kid to kid to kid because they wash so well and clean up so well. They're just great, really comfortable shoes. Yeah, it's awesome. So Marissa, best vegetarian breakfast a person can eat.
Ooh,
I love
breakfast.
And I want to eat more vegetarian. What should I be looking forward to tomorrow morning? What can I be adapting into my diet?
I only make this every once in a while, but it's Arthur's favorite. I'm half Dutch and I'm half Swiss. So my Dutch grandmother passed on her pannenkoeken recipe, which is like a Dutch pancake. Mm-hmm. So what we do is I make it with spinach and cheese. And it is just so good. So we have like Dutch pancakes sometimes on the weekend with spinach and cheese. I often will have one with chocolate as well because I have a big sweet tooth. But we don't do like a lot of breakfast. I mean, we both don't eat breakfast, but we'll do breakfast on the weekend. I do a lot of like dinner, like meals. Yeah. And recently, I think Arthur's new favorite thing is we do these black bean tacos. They're super, super simple with like you're supposed to do cilantro lime, but I do like a parsley lime, like aioli, because I hate cilantro. Yeah. So yeah, I'm always trying to like look for new things. We do cook. I cook a lot with like alternative plant-based meats as well. So, you know, Beyond Meat and then we'll do like salads with sort of like a plant-based, you know, crispy chicken or something like that. It's honestly so easy to be good to the planet now. And I encourage everyone to experiment a little bit more and just broaden their horizons and maybe take a little bit of a daring step forward in the vegetarian or veganism or whatever you would like it to be.
Yeah. And two great vegan brands here in Canada, BC, would be like Silver Hills. All their bread is vegan, which is amazing. And another one is Plant Veda. They have some incredible milk alternatives. I know there's Oatly, you know, the oat milk, but Plant Veda is a Vancouver born and bred company to check out as well. So,
yeah, nice I think that, Arthur, you know, vegan cheeses are going to be kind of like the next thing. And I've been following along with a few different ways that you can make your own vegan cheese. And it's quite interesting. Yeah, you just get like molds and stuff and you can make like just from like pulp, basically from like nut pulp, you can make your own kind of cheese. It's really interesting. It takes a bit of practice and it's a bit of a process, but something I'm sure I will get into at some point.
Well, if we can brew our own beer and make our own kombucha, let's start making our own cheese here.
Oh, hell yeah.
Let's do this.
Well, what's funny is the last time Arthur and I, not the last time, first time we were in Switzerland together when Arthur met my whole family, we made cheese in the Swiss Alps. Real cheese, not vegan cheese. And that was
like out of a movie.
It was incredible because we got to like soak our feet in the whey after because it was like came straight from the cow. It was so cool.
That's amazing. That is amazing. Mm-hmm. Marissa, Arthur, thank you for being here. Thank you for tag teaming this episode. It was awesome.
Yeah, thank you so much.
We're going to put a link, of course, in the show notes where you can get yourself a planner that could change your life. Thank you for being here again, and we'll see everyone again next time on Marketing News Canada.
Thanks for listening to Marketing News Canada. For more episodes and other great stories from Canadian marketers, visit marketingnewscanada.com. All episodes are recorded in the Jelly Marketing Studio, thanks to our producer, Chris Penner, and editors Travis Jeffers and The Podfather.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Save big money on your next project now at Menards. Update your home with low-maintenance vinyl windows from Jeld-Wen. They're durable, energy efficient, and are low maintenance. Menards carries over 100 different size and style options in stock, ready to take home today. Save big on Jeld-Wen windows now at Menards. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save